This is the reason why so very often I expand your capacity. I give you more knowledges about my will, and I make known to you everything that belongs to it, so that you may possess not only my will, but everything that belongs to it. Besides, in order to come to reign in the soul, my supreme will wants to find its goods, its dominions, and the soul must make them her own, so that, upon coming to reign within her, it may find its own dominions over which to lay its regime, its command. If it does not find heaven and earth within the soul, over what can it reign? Here is the necessity for which my will wants to centralize all goods in you, and you must know them, love them, possess them, so that, being in you, it may find its kingdom, and it may dominate and rule over it. Afterwards, I was thinking about what Jesus had told me, and, more than ever, I could see my littleness. I said to myself, how can I centralize within myself everything that divine will contains? It seems to me that the more he speaks, the littler I become and the more incapable I feel. So how can this be? And Jesus, coming back, added, my daughter, you must know that my celestial mama was able to conceive me, eternal word, within her most pure womb, because she did the will of God as God did it. All the other prerogatives which she possessed, that is, virginity, conception without original sin, sanctity, and seas of grace that she possessed, were not sufficient means to be able to conceive a God, because all these prerogatives gave her neither the immensity nor all-seeingness to be able to conceive a God who is immense and who sees everything, and even less the fecundity to be able to conceive him. In sum, she would have lacked the seed of divine fecundity, but by possessing the supreme will as her own life, and by doing her will of God as God does it, she received the seed of the divine fecundity, and with it, the immensity and the all-seeingness. Therefore, in a natural way, I could be conceived in her, because I lacked neither immensity nor all that belongs to my being. Now, my daughter, the centralization of everything that belongs to my will be as though natural for you also, if you arrive at doing the divine will as God himself does it. The will of God in you and that which reigns within God himself will be one. What is the wonder then if everything which is of God and which this will rules, preserves, and dominates is also yours? Rather, what is needed is that you know what belongs to it, so that you may love the goods you possess, and in loving them, you may acquire the right of possession. Doing the will of God as God does it was the highest, the most substantial, the most necessary point for my mama in order to obtain the longed-for Redeemer. All of her other prerogatives were the superficial part, the decency, the decorum which befitted her. The same for you. If you want to obtain the longed-for fiat, you must arrive at this, doing the will of God as God does it.
April 4th, 1926. Everything that our God does in the soul who lives in the divine will surpasses all that he did in creation. The divine will forms the complete resurrection of the soul in God. Finding myself in my usual state, I felt all immersed in my lovable Jesus, and my poor mind wandered through the divine knowledges, but everything was silence on my part and on the part of Jesus. Nor am I able to say that my mind comprehended. Afterwards, however, he resumed his speaking and said to me, "My daughter, everything I do in the soul, oh, how it surpasses all that I did in creation. See each knowledge of my perfections which I manifest, each truth which pertains to the divinity, is the new heaven that I extend within the soul. And as the soul rises in the truth she has known in order to resemble her creator, in its new sons, it is new sons that I come to form within the space of the heavens. Each grace I pour and each time I renew her union with me are seeds that are laid in the soul, and her love and correspondence form the sweet murmurings of these seas, as well as mighty waves which rise up to heaven and come to unload themselves at the foot of the divine throne. As the soul practices her virtues, since the body too contributes to the exercise of them, the body can be called the little field of the soul, over which I lay the most beautiful flowery meadows, in which I delight in creating ever new flowers, plants, and fruits. Just as I am one single act, which, after it is done once, is done forever, creation also has to be one single act. And just as in creation, my single act continues by preserving it ever new, whole and fresh, so is my creating in souls continuous. I never stop. I am always, always in the act of forming more beautiful things, surprising and new things, unless I find souls who close the doors to me and arrest my continuous act of creation. Then I find another device. I abound, I multiply my continuous act in the souls who keep the doors open, and with them I delight and continue the office of creator. But do you know where this continuous act of mine is never interrupted? In the soul who lives in my will. Ah, yes, only in her can I do freely whatever I want, because my will, which the soul contains, prepares her for me to receive my fiat that came out in creation. So my will, possessed by the soul, and that which I myself keep, extend hands to each other, kiss each other, and form the greatest portents. Therefore, be always attentive, and let your flight be always in my will. After this, I was thinking about the resurrection of our Lord, and coming back again, he added, "My daughter, my resurrection completed, sealed, and returned to me all honors. It called to life all of my works, which I did in the course of my life on earth, and formed the seed of the resurrection of the soul, and even of the bodies, on the universal judgment. So without my resurrection, my redemption would have been incomplete, and my most beautiful work would have been buried. The same for the soul. If she does not rise again completely in my will, all of her works remain incomplete. And if coldness for divine things creeps into her, her passions oppress her, and vices tyrannize her, these will form the tomb in which to bury her, because since the life of my will is missing, the one who makes the divine fire rise again will be missing. The one who, with one blow, kills all passions and makes all virtues rise again will be missing. My will is more than sun, which eclipses everything, fecundates everything, converts everything into light, and forms the complete resurrection of the soul in God.
April 9th, 1926. Difference between the virtues and the divine will. The divine will, symbolized by the rising sun and the overflowing sea. The difference between the soul who lets herself be dominated by the divine will and the soul who lets herself be dominated by the human will. I was thinking to myself, my sweet Jesus says many great, admirable, highest, wonderful things about the will of God. Yet it seems to me the creatures do not have that concept which it deserves, nor that great impression of the wonders which are in it. On the contrary, it seems that they place it on the same level as the virtues, and maybe they care more about those than about the most holy will of God. Am I always lovable, Jesus, moving in my interior, told me. My daughter, do you want to know why? Because their palates are not purged, and they are accustomed to the ordinary foods of this low world, which are the virtues, and not to the celestial and divine food, which is my will. This celestial food is appreciated only by those who consider earth, things, and even people as nothing, or as fully ordered in God. The virtues which can be practiced on earth are rarely exempt from human purposes, from self-esteem, from self-glory, love of appearing and of pleasing people. All these aims are like many tastes for the ordinary palate of the soul, and many times one operates more for these tastes than for the good the virtue contains. That is why virtues reach more easily, because the human will always gains something. On the other hand, the first thing that my will knocks down is the human will, and it tolerates no purpose which gives of human. My will is from heaven, wants a place in the soul, that which is divine, which belongs to heaven. Therefore, one's own self remains on an empty stomach and feels itself dying. So, in feeling her own self dying and in losing the hope of having any other food left, the soul makes up her mind to take the food of my will. And as she takes it, her palate being purged, she feels the taste of the food of my will, which is such that she would not exchange it at the cost of her life. My will does not know how to compromise, as virtues do, with the low and little things that can be done on earth. Rather, it wants to keep everything and everyone as a footstool at its feet, and change the whole interior of the soul and the very virtues into divine will. In a word, it wants its own heaven in the depth of the soul. Otherwise, it would remain hindered and would not be able to carry out its divine life. So here is the great difference between which exists between the virtues and my will, between the sanctity of one and of the other. The virtues can be creatures and can form a human sanctity at the most. My will is of God and can form a sanctity which is fully divine. What a difference! However, since the creatures are used used to looking down below, they are more impressed by the little lamps of the virtues than by the great sun of my will. Afterwards, I found myself outside of myself in the act in which the sun was rising. All things changed their appearance. The plants became brilliant. Flowers received the light of their fragrance and of the different colors which the light of the sun brought to each flower. All things received, sip by sip, life of the light of the sun in order to develop and to be formed. Yet one was the light, one the heat. Nothing else could be seen. But where did so many different effects, so many different colors, which it gave to nature, come from? And my sweet Jesus told me, "My daughter, why does the sun contain the seed of fecundity, the seed of the substance of all colors? Because light is greater than the goods it contains. Therefore it begins. Therefore it keeps them all eclipsed within itself. One cannot give something if he does not possess it. In the same way, the sun would not be able to give either fecundity or sweetness to fruits or color to flowers. Nor could it work so many wonders on earth as to transform it from an abyss of darkness into an abyss of light, if it did not contain within itself all the effects it produces. The sun is the symbol of my will. As it rises over this soul, it vivifies her. It bejewels her with graces. It gives her the most beautiful shades of the divine colors. It transforms her in God. And it does this all at once. It is enough to let it rise forth to operate wonderful things. By giving, my will loses nothing, just as the sun loses nothing by doing so much good to the earth. On the contrary, it remains glorified in the work of the creature. Our being is always in perfect balance. It neither increases nor can it decrease. But do you know how this happens? Imagine a sea full to the brim. A wind invests its surface, forms the waves, which overflow outside of the sea. In swelling, this sea has lost nothing. And just as the waters have overflowed outside, so have they immediately risen. And they appear at the same level as before. The same happens between the soul and God. She can be called the little wind which forms the waves and the divine sea, such a way that she can take as much water as she wants. But our sea will remain always at its level, because our nature is not subject to undergoing mutations. Therefore, the more you take, the more delight you will give me, and the more glorified I will be in you."
I can take over, Rita, if you want.
Thank you.
Okay. Then, afterwards, I was thinking about the difference that exists between one who lets herself be dominated by the will of God and one who lets herself be dominated by the human will. At that moment, I saw a person before my mind, bent over, her forehead touching her knees, covered with a black veil, enwrapped within a thick fog which prevented her from seeing the light. Poor one, she seemed to be drunk and staggering. She fell now to the right, now to the left. Truly she aroused pity. Now, while I was seeing this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, telling me, "My daughter, this is the image of one who lets herself be dominated by her own will. The human will bends the soul so much that she is forced to always look at the earth, and by looking at the earth, this is what she knows and loves. This knowledge and this love form many exhalations. They form the that thick and black fog which enwraps her completely and removes from her the sight of heaven and the beautiful light of the eternal truths. Therefore, the endowment of the human reason is left drunk with the things of the earth, and so she does not have a firm step, but she staggers to the right and to the left, wrapping herself more in the thick darkness that surrounds her. Therefore, there was no greater misfortune than a soul who lets herself be dominated by her will. The complete opposite for one who lets herself be dominated by my will. My will makes the soul grow straight in such a way that she cannot bend toward the earth, but she always looks at heaven. Her constant looking toward heaven forms many exhalations of light which envelop her completely. This cloud of light is so thick that eclipsing all the things of the earth, it makes them all disappear, and in exchange, it makes reappear for her everything that is heaven. So it can be said that heaven is what she knows, and all that belongs to heaven is what she loves. My will renders her step firm. Therefore, there is no danger that she might stagger even slightly. And the beautiful endowment of the human reason is so illuminated by the light which envelops her as to move from one truth to another. This light uncovers for her divine mysteries, ineffable things, celestial things. Therefore, the greatest fortune for a soul is to let herself be dominated by my will. She holds supremacy over everything. She occupies the first place of honor in the whole creation. She never moves away from the point in which God delivered her. God finds her always on his paternal knees, singing to him his glory, his love, and his eternal will. So since she is on the knees of the Celestial Father, the first love is for her, the seas of graces which overflow continuously from the divine womb are hers. The first kisses, the most loving caresses, are precisely for her. Only to her can we entrust our secrets, because being the one who is closest to us and who remains more with us, we let her share in all our things. We form her life, her joy and happiness, and she forms our joy and our happiness. In fact, since her will is one with ours, and since our will possesses our very happiness, it is no wonder that by possessing our will, the soul can give joys and happiness to us. And so, we make each other happy. Then, my poor mind continued to think about the difference that exists between one who lets herself be dominated by the supreme will and one who lets herself be dominated by the human will. And my highest and only good added, my daughter, my will contains the creative power. Therefore, it creates in the soul the strength, the grace, the light, and the very beauty with which it wants its own things to be done by the soul. So the soul feels a divine strength within herself, as if it were her own, a grace which is sufficient for the good that she must do, or for a pain that she is given to suffer. A light which, as though naturally, makes her see the good that she does. And attracted by the beauty of the divine work that she performs, she rejoices and makes feast, because the works that my will performs in the soul carry the mark of joy and of a perennial feast. This feast was started by my fiat in creation, but it was interrupted by the split of the human will from that of God. And as the soul lets the supreme will operate and dominate, the feast resumes its course, and the amusements, the games, the delights continue between the creature and us. There is no unhappiness or sorrow within us. How could we give it to creatures? And if they feel unhappiness, it is because they leave the divine will and enclose themselves within the little field of the human will. Therefore, as they return to the supreme volition, they find the joys, the happiness, the power, the strength, the light, the beauty of their Creator. In making them their own, they feel within themselves a natural divine substance, which reaches the point of giving them joy and happiness, even in sorrow. Therefore, it is always a feast between the soul and us. We play and we delight together. On the other hand, in the human will, there is not a creative power, which, if one wants to exercise the virtues, might be able to create patience, humility, obedience, etc. This is why one feels hardship, fatigue, in order to be able to practice the virtues, because the divine strength that sustains them, the creative power that nourishes them and gives them life, is missing. And so inconstancy appears, and one passes easily from virtues to vices, from prayer to dissipation, from church to amusements, from patience to impatience. All this mix of good and evil produces unhappiness in the creature. On the other hand, one who lets my will reign within herself feels firmness in good. She feels that all things bring her happiness and joy. More so, since all the things created by us carry the mark, the seed of the joy and the happiness of the one who created them, and they were created by us so that all of them might bring happiness to man. Each created thing has the mandate from us to bring to the creature the happiness and the joy it possesses. In fact, what joy and happiness does the light of the sun not bring? What pleasure do the blue heavens, a flowery field, a murmuring sea, not bring to one's sight? What enjoyment does a sweet and tasty fruit, some very fresh water, and many, many other things not bring to one's palate? All created things say to man in their mute language, "We bring you happiness, the joy of our Creator." But do you want to know in whom all created things find the echo of their joy and happiness? In one in whom they find my will reigning and dominating. Because that will which reigns in them as whole, that which God Himself possesses, and that which reigns in the soul, become one and make seas of joys, of happiness, and of contentments overflow into one another. Indeed, it is a true feast. Therefore, my daughter, every time you fuse yourself in my will, and you go around through all created things to impress your love, your glory, your adoration upon each thing I created to make you happy, I feel joy, happiness, and glory being renewed in me, as in the act in which you reissued the whole creation. You cannot understand the feast you make for us when we see your littleness, which, wanting to embrace everything in our will, repays us in love and in glory for all created things. Our joy is so great that we put everything aside to enjoy the joy and the feast that you give us. Therefore, to live in the supreme will is the greatest thing for us and for the soul. It is the outpouring of the Creator over the creature, and pouring himself over her, he gives her his shape and makes her share in all the divine qualities in such a way that we feel our works, our joys, our happiness being repeated by her.
We can thank Jesus for reminding us about this, about our human will today. We haven't heard much about human will recently, and thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen.
I especially like the analogy of the bent over woman who is so veiled by her own will. That was a very strong image. I'll try to keep that every time I try to go out of the divine will. I'll keep that image, and hopefully it'll draw me right back in.
Yeah, because we'd like to see you walking straight all the time. Amen.
Salvation, Mater Sanctorum, Vita Lucero, Espes Nostra Salve, Ate Clamamus, Exsules Filii, Ate Suspiramus, Debetus adventus, qui hoc lacrima vale. Eor ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuos miserere cordes oculos, ad nos converte.
Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching this morning to help us stay on track for the divine will. We ask you to bless us and bless our families and bless this group. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedict Aflos Omni Potentes, Pater et Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Amen. Fiat. Thank you so much for the readings today. Have a blessed day.